Good morning. The results I'm presenting today are part of my master's project. During this presentation, I'll cover the following topics, and I'd like to start with a few statements that encompass the focus of this work. The exposure of plants to soil water deficits, which is a common occurrence when growing crops in dry land conditions or when using deficit irrigation techniques, results in the sequential inhibition of expansive growth, transpiration, and photosynthesis. Plants exposed to soil water deficits conserve water by limiting leaf area growth and are closing stomata. The water use efficiency of cotton plants increased as plants were exposed to progressively increasing soil water deficits until this became very severe. The effects of water stress on yield depends on its timing and intensity. Minimizing the negative impacts of water deficits on yield and lean quality becomes, therefore, an essential goal in cotton production. Most of the work on the effects of timing of water deficits on cotton has focused on yield under variable field growing conditions. A better understanding of these responses of growth and yield and fiber quality would be achieved by quantifying these effects under controlled environmental conditions, where soil variability can be eliminated and water supply accurately controlled. With that, the objective of my study was to evaluate the effects of timing of soil deficits on plant growth and yield in cotton plants grown under controlled conditions. The study was carried out in 2013 at the drought tolerance lab in the AgriLife Research Center at Corpus Christi. Cultivar Phytogen 375 was planted on 3.6 gallon pots filled with friter clay soil. The study was laid out as a complete randomized design with four treatments and four reps. In treatment one, which was the control, plants were fully irrigated throughout the study. In treatment two, stress was imposed from match head to first bloom. In treatment three, stress was imposed from first bloom to mid bloom. And in treatment four, stress was imposed from mid-bloom to first cracked bulb. All pots were irrigated with 0.8 liters per day until match head, when the treatments were initiated. Plants went back to full irrigation after the stress treatments were finished. Plants, the transpiration was continuously measured with mini lysimeters, and plants were harvested on August 14th. Data was analyzed by ANOVA and mean separated by Fisher's LSD at the 5% probability level. So this scheme illustrates the treatments in this study. So moving on to the partial results, this graph shows the average daily transpiration data for the four treatments. Treatment 2 showed a little delay in the response to the water stress. That can be explained by the fact that transpiration was not that high because temperatures were mild during that stage and plants had a small size. Additionally, friter clay has a very large water holding capacity, so it took some time for the plants to deplete the water that was stored on the pots and start exhibiting the reductions in transpiration. On the other hand, treatments 3 and 4 showed an instantaneous response to the water stress. Treatment 3 decreased transpiration from 1.8 liters per day to less than 1 liter per day, while treatment 4 decreased transpiration from 2 liters per day to less than 1 liter per day. This table shows the cumulative transpiration per stage and the cumulative transpiration across the season. From match head to first bloom, there were no significant differences. From first bloom to mid bloom, treatment 3 was significantly smaller than the other treatments. From mid bloom to first cracked bulb, treatment 4 was significantly smaller than the other treatments. And across the season, treatments 1 and 2 transpired about 20 liters more than the other treatments. This graph shows the leaf area progression for the four treatments. At match head, when the treatments were initiated, there were no significant differences between the treatments. At first bloom, treatment 2 was significantly smaller. At mid bloom, treatment 3 was significantly smaller. And at first crack ball, even though treatment 4 shed many leaves, there were no significant differences between the four treatments. In terms of total dry matter yield, there were significant differences. Treatments 1 and 2 yielded more than treatments 3 and 4, and treatment 4 yielded more than treatments 3. Total dry matter yield was partitioned into two main components in this study: biological yield and economic yield. In terms of biological yield, treatment 3 yielded on average 40 grams less than the other treatments. In terms of economic yield per plant, treatments 1 and 2 yielded more on both parameters than treatments 3 and 4. Treatment 3 and 4 showed a reduction of about 50% in terms of seed cotton per plant and lint per plant. Harvest index showed the same trend as economic yield, with treatments 1 and 2 yielding more than treatments 3 and 4. There is a reduction of about 10% in treatments 3 and 4. Boll retention followed the similar trend, with treatments 1 and 2 being significantly higher than treatments 3 and 4, and there is a reduction of about 40% in treatments 3 and 4 compared to the first two. Total water use efficiency was not significant across the season for the four treatments. However, economic water use efficiency and lint water use efficiency was significant. These results indicate that the overall dry matter production per liter of water transpired across the season was not affected by the timing of the water stress. However, because the water stress affected the partitioning of the dry matter produced into economic components, treatments 3 and 4 had a smaller water use efficiency compared to treatments 1 and 2. Therefore, the timing of water depth stress decreased substantially daily transpiration rates and caused alterations in the vegetative reproductive ratio. Water deficits from first bloom to mid-bloom and from mid-bloom to first cracked boll had severe effects on cotton's dry biomass production and partitioning, primarily through its decreasing effects on fruit retention, which led to lower economic yield and lower water use efficiency. Based on these results, future studies may take into consideration different varieties and, if environmental conditions allowed, field studies with different irrigation methods. I would like to thank my committee members, Dr. Carlos Fernandez, Dr. Tom Cotrin, we miss him very much, Dr. Galen Morgan, and I would like to thank Carlos Correa and Pete Flores for their technical support, student workers Alexandra Gamboa, Julio Correa, and Megan Dupnik, AgriLife Center personnel, and good friends Murilo and Andrea Maeda, Landon Crotwell, Clay, and Dr. Katie Lewis for helping me discuss and interpret the results. With that, thank you very much for your attention, and I'll be glad to take some questions.
Yes.
Treatment 2. So during the stress, it was 1 liter per day from match head to first bloom. And then we went back to full irrigation after that. Yes. We didn't measure that. Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about your harvest index? Is that are you harvesting off of a still living plant fully, or how are you measuring that?
Well, harvest index, in this case, usually it doesn't take into consideration roots on field studies, but because we were growing plants on pots, we were able to measure root weight. So basically, total dry matter yield is the sum of all the biological, just to make a difference between vegetative parts and economic parts. So the way we induce the end of the season is we progressively start cutting with water So we don't apply any defoliant, nothing. We just progressively start shutting down irrigation in a way that plants start shedding leaves and eventually ball opens and all that. So basically, harvest index in this case is seed cotton divided by the total dry matter, which is the biological plus the economic. It doesn't reflect what is usually done in field conditions where there are no, I mean, it's difficult to get data on the roots.
Okay, thank you.